In the name of Jesus, amen. So what kind of son or daughter were you growing up? Did you do what your parents asked you to do? Or did you question their authority? Were you a trusting and obedient child or a rebellious one? When your parents told you to do something, were you a yes, mom, dad type of person, or a no child? If we ask our parents, I'm sure they have both types of stories about us. What if we ask the Father in heaven? What will God say about his children? The history of God's dealings with his children, with his people, Israel, is a mixed bag. God speaks to them through his prophets. Some listen, believe, follow the Father's will, but many don't. They don't have ears to hear or eyes to see. They question the authority of their Father. They do not trust him or the ones he sends for our good, to call us to repentance, to grant us the kingdom. And so we come to our text, a parable about two sons and two responses to their father. Their father tells him to go and work in his vineyard. The first son says, no, there is nothing great about this one, it seems, nothing that looks appealing. He appears disobedient. He's a disappointment. But then he changes his mind and goes to the vineyard. He surprises us. The one who says no at first ends up saying yes. The second son says yes right away. This one looks like a great son, obedient, a keeper. He looks appealing, religious, righteous. He must be his father's pride and joy. But then he changes his mind and does not go. He talks the talk, but does not walk the walk. The one who says yes ends up saying no. Two sons, two stories. Story of faith and trust and obedience. And a story of lack of trust, disobedience. The ones who say no at first are the sinners, the tax collectors, and the prostitutes. There is nothing great about them. They are the ones who, from a human perspective, we would think least likely candidates to hear the Father's word, believe in those whom he sends, and do his will. But miraculously, against all human expectations, they end up saying yes. God welcomes them into his kingdom. They say yes to God and his prophets, to John the Baptist, and ultimately to Jesus. The ones who say yes at first are the chief priests and elders of the people. They are the religious leaders of Israel, Israel's best hope. They should know better. But they end up saying no. The ones we think, from a human angle, more likely to hear the Father's word, believe his prophets, end up outside the kingdom of God. So, who are you in the story? Which son are you? The first one? The other one? Imagine yourself in the future. You have received your call. You're in the midst of ministry. You are in the Lord's vineyard. You're a pastor preaching, teaching, offering spiritual counsel. You're a deaconess, serving in works of mercy, caring holistically for the vulnerable. You have become leaders of God's people. In your own vocations, you have. And now you're starting to look like that second son, a leader of God's people, working in his vineyard. People are starting to look up to you for counsel. You are the church's best hope. But if not careful, leaders can become too self-confident, self-sufficient, self-reliant. Leaders can become less open to constructive criticism, less willing to receive advice and grow from it, less humble to accept shortcomings and sins, and finally, less open to hear God's word and follow Him, wherever that may lead. Beware, lest you become that second son. Imagine yourself in the future. You have received your call. You are in the trenches of ministry. You are in the Lord's church and world. You are now leading God's people. This is a great gift and blessing from God. But also remember to be on guard, to be vigilant. Gifts and blessings can become idols. Times of spiritual attack will come your way to rely on yourself more, on your own authority, and depend less and less on God's word. And when that happens, remember these three lessons for current and especially future pastors and deaconesses. Lesson number one. Before you are a leader of God's people, always remember that you are first a pastor or a deaconess. You are first a servant in the vineyard, then a leader. You see, if you lead without the pastor's staff or without the deaconess cross, you can become like those chief priests and the elders of the people. Trusting in their own power and authority, they relied on their own ideas instead of listening to God's word and those whom He sent. Losing their way, they led others astray. Your vocation, your authority comes from another. We depend on God alone. We work in His vineyard. We rely on His spirit and power. And any authority that comes from our call is only given to us as a gift by God. So remember, you are a pastor first, a deaconess first, and only then you are a leader who shepherds the flock or cares for the vulnerable in all things with a steady but gentle hand. Lesson number two. Before you are a pastor or a deaconess, always remember you are first a sinner. A sinner whom God, through baptism, miraculously brought into His kingdom, a forgiven sinner, to whom has been given the blessing of working in the Lord's vineyard. The chief priests and the elders of the people thought too highly of themselves. They thought they were better than those sinners out there. We too could be tempted to think this way, to play comparison games, to see who's more religious and righteous among us. So remember, you are a sinner first, whom God brought into His kingdom and continuously maintains, keeps in His kingdom through the forgiveness of his sins, through life and salvation. First a sinner, and then you're called to be a pastor and a deaconess, a worker and a servant to and among sinners like you. And finally, the third lesson. Remember that before you are a worker in the Lord's vineyard, you are a son, a daughter, a child of God. Remember that you have a Father in heaven who has called you through His word and into His vineyard, and who sent you into His mission with His word and spirit to teach you what to speak and how to lead. He loves you. You are His son and daughter. He will take care of you. He will provide you with all you need in life and in ministry. And even in those times when he sends you, and you say no at first, his Spirit will work to change your mind, to turn you to God and seek his word again and again and again, to say yes. And then he will send you on your way again, again and again, to serve him and his people. So remember, you are a child of God first, and then you go to work to preach and lead, to care for people in works of mercy and justice. You are first loved by God in his Son, and so you love God's creatures in the name of his Son. So, what kind of son or daughter were you growing up? More important, what kind of son or daughter has the Heavenly Father made out of you? I have good news for you today. God the Father has made you into the first son in the parable. In his story, where no children are turned into yes children. In his story, where he gives sinners ears to hear and eyes to see his salvation, and to see sinners with compassion. In his story, where he has made you into a child who trusts him, heeds the word of his prophets and apostles, of his Son, and gladly works in his vineyard, who says, "Here I am, send me, send me." Yes. And as you begin the second half of the semester, and as you continue to be formed by the Spirit of Christ into future pastors and deaconesses and leaders for work in the Father's vineyard, remember this now, and then remember it when you enter ministry, and then again throughout your whole life of service in the church. Remember, you are servants before your leaders. You are forgiven sinners, humbly serving among sinners. And you are sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father. Prepare as his servants for his world. The Father has made you a sinner into his child. He has made you his child into a servant. He has made you his servant into a leader of his people. In the name of Jesus, amen.